and see the life of Jesus. And I want us to glean a few things. It may not be exactly what we thought. I believe we'll be over into Matthew 21 and possibly over in Matthew 18. So praise the Lord. Hang with me today. Glory to God. And we'll see if we can glean truth from this triumphal entry that Jesus had. First of all, let's start in Philippians 2:5 there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. And so here I want us to see, let this mind, verse 5 says, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he chose to come and humble himself and become a man. And this morning, I want us to take a look at how he showed that to us. Last week, we talked about Jesus and how he was spit upon. He was buffeted. He was beaten. As many as 100 different religious leaders were present, it is believed, and they just beat him. And remember, when they brought Jesus out, they didn't hardly recognize him. He had been, after he was whipped, of course, but even before that, his face was beaten. They spit on him, to the greatest disrespect that we can see, the greatest humiliation that he suffered. Hallelujah. But yet he was obedient, the Bible said. He became obedient to the point of death. He was on a journey. Jesus knew where he was going when he came into Jerusalem that day. Matthew chapter 21. And we'll read a few verses here. Matthew 21, verse number 1. And here we see this triumphal entry. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go in the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king's coming to you lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And the very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So here we see Jesus continuing his obedience going to the cross. Last week we realized that yes, he had to go through some suffering. He did go through suffering. And here Jesus, this is even before that time, and we're backing up a little bit. But we're seeing that as they drew to Jerusalem, this city, the Mount of Olives, Jesus is there with his disciples. Do you see him there? Can you see that picture? Here he is. He's telling his disciples, we need a colt to go into Jerusalem. I need one to ride. It had never been ridden before. This is one that was reserved for a king. The King of Kings was coming to town. And here, many people who are at Jerusalem, they're getting ready for the Passover. They're all gathered around, so there's a large multitude that's standing there. And they go into that village, these disciples, they bring back that colt, they put their clothes upon him so Jesus can comfortably ride on the donkey. And they're saying, hey, here we go. Now they're thinking he's going in. We're going to overthrow Jerusalem. We're going to overthrow the Romans. We're going to take over. We're going to, oh, here we go. We're going to set up the kingdom now. Remember, many times throughout the Word of God, they had said, Lord, who can sit at your right or at your left when we come into your kingdom? Could it be my sons, Lord, the sons of Zebedee? You know, the sons of thunder, the ones that wanted to call down lightning on some people a few times. And the Lord said, it's not mine to give, but of my Father to give that position. And so the disciples are thinking a little bit differently than Jesus. Here he comes, meek and lowly Lamb of God. It says in verse 5, it says, tell the daughter of Zion, he's fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. Where he said he's going to come into Jerusalem riding on the donkey. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, just like it says here. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Lowly or humbly, he's coming and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. Prophecy is fulfilled right here in Jesus. Did you know that in Jesus himself, over 300 prophecies were fulfilled in his life alone? And everybody says, well, we would think, what are the chances? Well, when you're talking about the Son of God and God's perfect plan for mankind, it's 100%. There wasn't one that wasn't fulfilled. There's not one thing that didn't go just the way that God desired. And sometimes we don't realize the timings of God in our life. This is a perfect timing. And I think one thing that we can pull out of this story is God's got a time for you, where you are going to ride in as his son and his daughter. Has he not called you to be kings and priests in the earth? And you're going to ride in to your Jerusalem. And then they sing your praises, yet there's a death to come. Because we die to ourselves, just as Jesus said, I'm laying down my life freely. I come, and he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Do we believe that there are times in our life when God may take you into the wilderness to seek after the Father, where we're not so seen by man? First, Jesus is seen by men. He's going into Jerusalem, and who knows what happens after he gets into Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He gets into the temple, doesn't he? He goes to the temple. And what was happening at the temple? They were selling things, the sheep, the animals that were necessary for sacrifices. How many know they didn't always take their animal with them? They would buy one when they got there. Hallelujah. And so here we can see that they needed that. And it was a necessity. And they should be selling the animals, but they, how many know what they were doing? They were merchandising the people. They were taking advantage. They were costing money. They knew they had to have them, so What do you do when there's high demand? They just raise the price. You know, but it was obviously exorbitant, you know, too much. And Jesus became angry. He said, no, no, my Father's house is going to be a house of prayer. You know, sometimes people ask, what would Jesus do? Maybe we should say, what would Jesus say? What would he say about my life? What would he say about me? Am I the one that is willing to say, Lord, thy kingdom come, your will be done in my life? So he comes as that lowly, humble Lamb of God, being led. Now that word, what you know, what we talked about last week, they had led the lambs to the slaughter. They're getting ready to have the sacrifices. That same word, where Jesus was led to be, you know, he's here, he's led into Jerusalem on the donkey. But that just means that he is that lamb. He was the Lamb of God. And when he comes again, how many know he's coming as the lion? Amen. Of the tribe of Judah, as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords. And he goes into Jerusalem, this lowly and meek lamb. He had a humility about him. And we read that over in Philippians, didn't we? That he humbled himself. He lost his reputation, and he was willing to come humbly into the Father's will. And how many know it takes humility to walk in God's will? Number one, we have to humble ourselves to what? To believe what he said. To take his word over what we may think in our own mind. We, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. It separates us from God. Sin brings death, but how many know? Jesus said, I've come to bring life. And life more abundant. And when we submit, we humble ourselves and submit to his will. And I want to talk a little bit about that part because he was a lowly lamb. He was the Lamb of God. And Jesus himself said in John 5:30, I only do that which I see and hear my Father say or do. So he was a great example, and he continues his example here as he goes into the city. And the praises of men are coming about, and they're all excited, and they think they're praising the great prophet that's come, and he's going to set up the kingdom. And yet, once he got upset and chased them out of the temple, they weren't, the religious leaders were not too happy. And we need to know that Jesus is worthy of our praise, and Jesus is worthy of our honor, and he is the Son of David, and he is the King of glory, and he did come into Jerusalem, but he came as the Lamb of God. He came humbly. He came lowly. He had the attitude of a servant. They were looking, many of the zealots at that time, they're looking for a warlike Messiah who would use force. And Jesus showed a greater power than armed might. The power of humble wisdom and penetrating love. He showed a meekness and not weakness. But he showed the meekness, which means he had power under control. He had the power. We talked about last week where they came. If they came, when they came to get Jesus in the garden, there were close to 600 men that went to go pick him up because they sent out a whole guard from the palace. There was about that many. It was a police guard probably. Anyway, they sent them out. These are military men that had guarded the palace there that had been built, you know, and Antipa, he had built this, they built this beautiful palace, and so they went out. When they went to go get Jesus, 600 men, and what did he say? I am. Here I am. He protected his disciples. He says, no, I'm laying my life down willingly. He humbled himself to go the way that the Father had purposed and planned, even though it was meaning death to his life. Now, we don't suffer a physical death, but many times we are to lay ourselves down. Amen. How many know that there is a death to the flesh and a life that comes by that death? We are really dying to live. When we allow Christ to have his way, we humble ourselves. And he became that lowly, meek, and mild lamb. Now the Bible says this also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, verse 5, for they shall inherit the earth. That's Matthew 5, 3, Matthew 5, 5 in the Beatitudes. Now, Andrew Murray says this. He says, for the heavenly and the earthly life, humility is the secret of blessing. Meekness, which I mentioned earlier, is a strong will under control. Jesus decided to lay his life down. He had the power to take it up if he wanted to. He could have stopped the whole thing. The Father had reserved that for him. He could have called on the 10,000 angels, but he chose to humble himself even to the point of death. Because we talked about last week, it was the joy that was set before him. That's you and I. That's humankind. That's mankind. He said, I'm going to pay for the sins, not just of one, but of the world. So here, as he goes into that place, he humbled himself. He became that lowly person, and he was willing to come. And here we see also in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Why? He says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And here Jesus shares the attitude that we need to receive from Jesus as our teacher. Meek and a lowly heart. And in that, we find that rest for our souls. That takes a humility. It takes a humbling of ourselves. It takes us deciding that his words are more important than mine. His words are more important than what I heard from my friend or on the internet or what I heard the world saying. Things are changing, my friends, and the world is going to come to an end one day. And yes, there is such a thing as climate change. It's been happening for thousands of years. The earth is under a groaning is what's taking place. However, I know that man is also trying to manipulate some things, and they try to cause things to happen. How many know? Did you know? I was just reading the other day and noticed they are learning, you know, and they've mentioned this before in my weekly reader when I was in the second grade, but they really have learned how to make rain. They could make a burst and put a cloud in the air and actually made it rain. Now, some things can be done to change some things in the world. But how many know it has to be in the hands of the righteous? But when the righteous call, when God's power comes, it's greater than that of man. Man can do certain things. They may be able to do it limitedly, but how many know God can bring the rain? He'll bring the rain when we humble ourselves. How many ever heard of a man named Elijah who was a man just like us? He even got himself into depression one day and sat under the juniper tree and he was looking to hear from God. He said, I need a word from heaven. He saw the fire. God wasn't in the fire, the great wind, but what was God in? That still small voice that came. It was within that peace. And that's what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 through 30 there, that we can have the attitude to receive from Jesus as master teacher. His example. We find rest for our souls when we humble ourselves before the King. Hallelujah. Matthew 18, verse 3. Let's go there for a minute. Matthew 18, 3. I'm sharing one key. We see this story of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And when we glorify Him, of course we have to do so. We glorify God, what? Through the Son, because God has given Him that name over every name, as we read. But here in Matthew 3, we see, Matthew 18, 3. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And in verse 4, He said, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And that's the question that He was answering here, because they were asking Him. In verse 1, He said, who then? The disciples are asking Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He said, "He that will become teachable like a little child, that I can teach him." They'll set aside their religious beliefs. Well, there's things sometimes we need to change, things we need to lay down so that we can what? Learn the truth. How many know sometimes there's truths we need to lay aside? The enemy's been pretty good in the church, amen? He's brought lies. It's God's will to heal first time, every time, all the time, no exception. He's ready to heal you today. He wants you well and strong and mighty. He paid for the healing of mankind, and that's the truth. He paid it in the atonement of Jesus Christ. He became sick in our place, just like He became sin for you. He became sick for you, that you might have His health. He became poor for you, that you through His poverty might be made rich. It was by the grace of God. He has provided many things for us. How many know that He provided peace for your soul? Amen. Sometimes we see people in a physical wheelchair, but how many know many are bound in an emotional wheelchair? They're stuck. They can't seem to get over whatever it is that happened to them or whoever, you know, some trauma that took place in their life. I knew a guy one time, his house had burnt down, all of his family was killed, and he just kind of got stuck right there in life. He couldn't seem to snap out of that. Hallelujah. But how many know Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted? Jesus is the healer of the broken mind. True heavenly mindedness, though, and we're looking to that, we have to do one thing. Humble ourselves. I don't know it all. God knows all, and I trust Him. God, I pray to what? To Him, because He has a plan and purpose for my life. He is the revealer of all truth, and I will pray. I will spend time praying in other tongues because I choose to give my life to Him. I lay down myself, I humble myself, and I take up His way. Luke chapter 9, verse 38. This is the same here. He says, "Whosoever..." Well, let's see. Let me get it right. 9:48. Glory to God. "Whosoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you will be great." Hallelujah. How many know it takes us to allow us to say, He said, "He who is what? Least among you." Not he that is greatest among you, but the least shall be made great. In God's kingdom, there is a backwards, you know, we would say in the world, it's the opposite of the world. The world says, lift yourself up, become great, step on somebody else and be greater. Put them under and let them see how wonderful you are. But God says, humble yourself under my mighty hand and I will lift you up. I will cause you to be great. The number one place that we are to become great is what? In the kingdom. We become great in His kingdom. Sometimes we want to see ourselves somewhere where we don't belong yet. We have to lay down our own personal exaltation and take up the leading of God. Amen. In His timing. How many remember the sons of Zebedee? I mentioned them earlier. And what Jesus said to them, Matthew 20, verse 20 through 25. Matthew 20, 20 through 25, Jesus was answering them. And in verse 26, because they were asking there, who's the greatest, Lord? Who's the greatest? Now, a lot of times we don't realize that, but amongst the disciples, they had asked Jesus that several times. And they've asked him it more than once. Several times they said, hey, who's the greatest, Lord? And there was a little bit amongst them. How many ever remember when you hear about Peter? John's writing about him and Peter running to the tomb. And John just happens to mention that he outran Peter. You know, his personality. They were there. They weren't in conflict, but they were like brothers. They were, you know, challenging one another. Amen. And he says, I just want you to know I got there first. I walked into the tomb and he wasn't there. You know. Anyway, hallelujah. Part of their, that part of them. But verse 26 says this. He says, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So here we see again, Jesus said, if you will become humble yourself like a servant, be a minister, be someone that serves. All right, again, speaking to the multitude, we see again here in Jesus was speaking to a multitude and the disciples about the Pharisees and their love for the chief seats. And that's what Jesus is saying here. In verse 28, we see even, he said this in verse 28, we saw that, even as the Son of Man, maybe I wrote the same verse. That's okay. anyway, he was speaking to the multitudes, and this is what he had said here that we just read. Sorry, I had a little misprint here. All right, or I typed it wrong. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. And here we see that Jesus enters the house of a Pharisee, and just verse 1. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will he not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told them this parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, he said, he sees, Jesus is watching. He said, they've taken the best places. It says, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited to go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So true exaltation really comes when we humble ourselves and take the lower seat. We take the time to be with the Master. We begin to seek the plans of God, and His exaltation takes place in our life. Hallelujah. Now here we see something. We're in Luke. Let's turn over a few chapters. Luke 18, verse 14. Hallelujah. He says, I tell you the truth. He was talking about the parable of the publican and the Pharisees. And how many remember that? You know, the Pharisee says, oh, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like these publicans. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all. Lord, I am so holy and pure before you. Oh, thank you for, I know that I'm the greatest in your kingdom. And the Pharisee just says, Lord, be merciful to me. And beats his chest, said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We humble ourselves by giving ourselves over to the Lord, by spending time with Him, by deciding and choosing that His Word is going to be first place in our life, by spending time and saying, Lord, I don't know it all. I need to pray. I need your wisdom. I need your purpose and plan for my life. And we lay down our earthly desires and we begin to take up God's purposes and His plan. Hallelujah. In the temple and presence and worship of God, everything is worthless that is not pervaded by true humility toward God and man. Andrew Murray said that. He said, it is God's purpose, it is His desire that we enter the temple and the presence and worship God. How many know that you are the temple of God? Amen. How many know that sometimes Jesus is driving out the money changers from your temple? Ooh. You know, we need to realize and say, Lord, I humble myself. I let you drive those things, the wrong motives, Lord, that may be in my heart. I let you drive out, Lord God, wrong thoughts, Lord God, and things that I didn't even realize may have been there. But we seek first Him, and we lay the honor and glory unto Him. Jesus said in John 13:14, if I then be your Lord and Master and have washed your feet, He's talking to the disciples here. He had just washed their feet after they had partaken of the Last Supper, and here's Jesus, He's girded with that cloth, and He says, if I'm your Lord and Master, I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Obedience and transformation to His will takes humility, and we need to make humility the first and most essential element of our discipleship. Because it takes, how many know, it takes a humble heart just to be born again. I need a Savior. Many are saying, you know, oh, I don't know. Why would I need a Savior? Why do I need to be born again? Because sin is lurking within the heart of unregenerate men. Men that have not received that forgiveness. There is a power that comes within when we are born again. And then again here in Luke 22, we're in the book of Luke here. I just mentioned that. But Luke 22, a couple chapters over. And Jesus is here at the Last Supper again with His disciples. And they're still disputing who should be greatest. And Jesus answers them in verse 26 of 22. He said, it's not so among you. He said, well, let's look at verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And He said to them, Jesus says to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. Not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yes, I am among you as the one who serves. I choose to take the lower seat. Jesus is saying humility always makes me servant of all. We are to follow his example. Now in the church, I know that it's little sought after. How many know that's true? Many don't really think about it or seek after it. It's practiced very little. The world doesn't see much of it. We don't see to have not too much is felt or confessed about the lack of humility. I'm not saying that there's not attention, that some have recognized a measure of the likeness of Jesus in humility, but how few ever think of making it a distinct object of continual desire or prayer. How little of the world has seen it. How little it's been seen even in the inner circles of the church. Whoever will be chief among you, Jesus said, let him be your servant. Hallelujah. Are we going to serve Jesus? Are we going to serve one another? We are a family. Part of humbling ourselves is being that servant. Deciding, I'm going to walk and let Jesus be my example. Now, Andrew Murray said this. He says, we all know what the character of a faithful servant or slave implies. Devotion to the master's interests. Thoughtful study and care to please him. Delight in his prosperity and in his honor and happiness. We're trying to honor and bring glory to God. But there's a new joy that's found in the Christian life when we yield ourselves as servants, as slaves to God, and find his service our highest liberty, that Jesus calls us to be servants of one another. And that we accept it readily. This service is a blessed one. It will be a new and fuller liberty for us in our life and a liberty from sin. Hallelujah. And from ourselves. I mean, you know, sometimes we got to get liberty from us. We got to get over ourselves. We got to realize I can serve. I can allow myself, Lord, to be servant. What of all? Like Jesus was servant of all. He humbled himself. He had this mind in him that I am going to do the will of the Father. I'm going to allow them and I'm going to fulfill his purpose. I'm going to come into the Jerusalem. Yes, he came in as a servant king. And they didn't quite understand. They thought he's supposed to take over. They thought he's got all the power. This is the time. We're going to see it. Now there is coming a time. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes, he's going to be King of Kings. But it was a spiritual kingdom and they didn't realize that God was setting up a kingdom, but it's going to come from within. When we humble ourselves before him and we allow ourselves to take his word as final authority, there are many ways in humbling ourselves, saying, Lord, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to spend time giving you the glory for who you are. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. Not just what I have, but who you are. You are faithful. You are true. You're the King of glory. You are the Lord, the counselor. You're my wisdom, Lord. You're all that I desire. You're all that I need, Jesus. I humble my heart before you and I worship you. When we pray in tongues, we're giving our life to him. We're letting him pray his perfect will for us. Saying, Lord, I don't know it all. When we study His Word. We're saying, Lord, I need You. I listen to You. I obey Your commands. Jesus had a little different attitude as He rode into Jerusalem that day. Even though He was the King, and they acknowledged it. Yet after He went into the temple and kicked out some of the money changers, there was a different story. And right after that, He said, my house is going to be the house of prayer. They brought the sick and He began to heal. Glory to God. God's desire for us is that we walk with Him, not apart from Him. And in that overflow, that the Holy Spirit would fill us. Let's ask Him to fill us afresh and new today. Yeah, I know He's with us. We don't have to ask Him to come. He's already come. But we can ask Him to fill us. We can ask Him to plug any holes in our life so that we can overflow with Him. With Him. Because there's not anything we're going to produce of ourselves. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the truth, Lord, that we can be Your servants and be a servant to those around us, Lord, that we can humble ourselves, Lord, and learn of You. And we can take Your word as Your truth, Lord God, as we know that, Father. And I know that we're just stirring up those that have seen this and know that. But Father, we want to lay down our lives afresh and anew. We want to be those, Lord God, that will obey You when it doesn't make sense to our mind. When it doesn't seem like that's the way of the world. And Lord, we have to die to our own desires, our own will, Lord, when there's things that we want to do, Lord. And You say, no, I need You to do this. I need You to stay faithful and stay serving right where You are for as long as I ask You, and become an attitude with joy, Father. That we are joyful, Lord, in serving our Master. We're willing to do whatever You ask, Lord, with joy. Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, Father, He endured the cross. And Father, we're asking You today, Holy Spirit, thank You. We want to thank You for being our teacher, our counselor. You're the best teacher. You're the best guide. We thank You for that. We want to have a relationship with You, where You are able to teach us, where we humble our heart and we receive Your truth through the Word of God and the illuminations and the revelation that You will bring. And we're asking You, Lord, to fill us afresh. Fill us new, Lord, with Your presence. Lord, and plug up those holes that may be in us, Lord, where we've leaked out, and let us overflow with the power and of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, where we will display Your love and Your goodness, Father, and Your faithfulness, and You can use us for Your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah and amen. Glory to God. Praise You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah.